Welcome to our tens of fans out there. This is Are You Not Kentertained podcast, and I am your host, Russell Snyder. This is the 14th podcast of Are You Not Kentertained, and today is November 16th. I am joined by the flagrant Kent Waldron, and, of course, the exquisite, elegant, and, of course, magnificent Carrie. Guys, how we doing?
Not too bad. Love all the adjectives this week.
You know, I was...
Thank you.
I was called out last week. Thesaurus.com, thank you very much.
Like, are you going to call me technical next week? Because the only time I ever hear the term flagrant is, like, in the NBA.
When it's a foul, right?
Ah, for fuck's sakes. And, you know, I... Much like your flagrant word, I want to talk about something that is quite foul. You know, just like the
good
rest of us,
go ahead.
We are all sick of what happened last Tuesday. But, you know, what's disgusting to me is how the WWE is just flat out basically endorsing rape. It's fucking disgusting. We all saw it on our TV. We all saw Baron Corbin go down. And we watched the WWE rape him. Now, I mean, there are times when rape can be kind of cool in movies, but it's not cool in the WWE, folks. It is not cool, and I do not appreciate WWE endorsing rape to our young children fans. This is bullshit, and this stuff needs to stop.
Of course, Kent's talking how Baron Corbin was completely and utterly... just wiped clean of anything doing with Survivor Series. Like, he wasn't even on SmackDown this week, which it wouldn't have been. It's an off week for Baron Corbin anyway.
Much like Kalisto and his jump.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that's the guy that.
We'll get to that later.
You know, tuck him out.
Well, yeah.
That jump, that slip, that Kalisto.
Yep. That was good. All right, folks, if you haven't noticed, yes, we talk about wrestling on this podcast when Carrie and I are on with Kent, of course. And we also write a blog. So check that blog out, folks. It's at, I do believe, 9deuce.com/wrestling. Go ahead and check it out. It's always fun. So, all right, well, again, we're here. What's important? And what's important is... what really intrigued us this week? Now, guys, I'm not gonna lie. I was feeling really burned out this week from wrestling. I couldn't get into Raw or SmackDown. And not to say neither of them are really that bad. There were some good things, but I couldn't get into anything. So I'm going to leave it to Carrie to start us off with one thing that really got her going for wrestling this week. It's going to be very tough for me to go, but we'll start with Carrie.
Well, I mean, it was tough for me as well. I didn't have much on my list for the week, but I guess we'll start off with, I say, the elephant in the room. Let's talk about
Kent?
The Miz and... No.
Kent's a bigger man, if you don't know that, people. And Kent's now just staring at me. I'm sorry. Go ahead. The elephant in the room.
Yes, otherwise known as the finish of The Miz and Dolph. I just have so many more questions and answers about the finish of that match. If they, and just one resounding comment, if they were going to take the belt off Ziggler to begin with, why did they do it in the first place? Just leave it on Miz, let him get... you know, a record and title reigns like he was. We've been discussing our previous podcasts, and not waste everybody's time and get everybody's hopes up. I just think it made zero sense. But he's wrestling Sami Zayn on Sunday. Let's go, Sammy. What do you guys think?
I'm
baffled. Oh, go ahead, Kent.
I'm simply baffled by it because. You sit there, you have Daniel Bryan, who we know is watching. Like, he has such a huge axe to grind with The Miz. How many Miz matches has he seen where The Miz has won by some form of cheating.
By hook or crook, right.
And he doesn't just come down there and be like, hey, I saw this. I can overrule. You know, he can say either restart the match or immediate rematch. He can do either of those options. We've seen authority figures do it plenty of times in the past. But yet, now when we're dealing with, was he commissioner or GM? I don't know.
He's GM.
Like, he doesn't come out and interfere, or at least give Maurice and the Spirit Squad the boot, something. And then from a booking standpoint, the logic is beyond flawed, because we just went from having a, not necessarily a match of the year, but at least a match of the night candidate, to Sami Zayn versus Miz, which I have the utmost respect for both guys, but that's not stealing the show in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion. So huge, huge letdown, and at least Dolph could have been like backstage, be like, "Hey, you're gonna insert me into the match at Survivor Series."
Yeah, make it a triple threat match. They could easily make it a triple threat match.
Yeah. I'm baffled by the whole thing, and it just left a really, really bad taste in my mouth.
And in fact, they could have done this so much better than they actually did. First of all, the match between Miz and Dolph I thought was very good. It was definitely the best match of the night. It was probably the best match of the week, for me anyway, it was. Really good, but oh my, that ending was just disastrous. I mean, it makes... Okay, I understand where they're coming from, but it's stupid. How come they couldn't just have, like, The Miz get cheated out of his match, have him go back, right? So he's fighting, they fight, and then maybe Dolph gets a cheap win, all right? So Miz goes back there, starts bitching and hollering, and finally Daniel finally goes, all right, fine. You're in the match in Survivor Series. Triple threat match. Now you have Zayn, Miz, and Dolph. They fight at Survivor Series. It would be a hell of a match between the three of them. And then have Zayn pin The Miz. That way Dolph doesn't lose the belt, technically. But now he has no chance to get it back because it goes to Raw. And Miz is going to take the pin anyway at Survivor Series, as far as I'm assuming. Because now that they switched it off, it just seems like that's the obvious choice that's going to happen. Zayn's going to get the belt.
So the obvious choice is to change the belts 6 days later. I'm not even like critiquing anything you're saying, but like looking at it objectively, we're gonna give Sami Zayn a singles title when he's done jack shit in how many months?
They're going to. It seems obvious to me, because again, we talked about this last week. It seems like the Cruiserweights are going to SmackDown just because of the taping situation. Again, I could be wrong. I am not backstage. I don't know jack shit.
I just don't understand what the purpose of having two mid-card titles on Raw when they don't have a mid-card. They do not have a mid-card.
Where SmackDown does.
Right. And then that just basically takes away the little bit of mid-card that you do have on SmackDown. It's daringly dumb.
Yeah, oh, totally. And if Miz wins on Sunday, then I still don't understand the point of ever giving it to Dolph.
Well, is Dolph supposed to retire? Because in one of his promos after he won, he said, you know, once he loses, he might be done. Like, they never touched on that aspect at all after the match. That was a match that was good, but admittedly, the first half of it was infinitely better than the second half, barring the conclusion of it. The match really peaked early on and then slowly went downhill, which is not how you want a match to go. The chain wrestling early on was actually really good.
It was phenomenal. Right,
as it progressed, though, it did lower in quality.
I don't want to say lowered in quality. I understand where you're coming from. It seemed like it got slower, a much slower pace until right at the end. And then it at the end, like when I thought there was a chance that Miz was going to win at the end, I was like, oh my God, what are they doing? And then he won, and it just was like, Yeah, that was terrible. Bad, bad decision. Good topic, Karen.
Yeah, I mean, well, thank you. I mean, I have to kind of echo what you guys have been saying. I mean, it makes zero sense. The only way that this makes sense, and this is something I may have read in other places, what if Zayn wins and then jumps to SmackDown? That could be another possibility.
Like maybe a trade of Miz for Sami Zayn?
Yeah, maybe.
It's a possibility. And Daniel Bryan did say he would be up to trading the Miz. So there's a possibility of it. That's not bad. And the Miz, honestly, do you think he'd be a better fit for SmackDown still or Raw?
Miz still really belongs on SmackDown. Like, granted, Sami Zayn's going, if he gets moved over, that'd be great. Like, that'd be the best thing for Sami Zayn's career. But Miz, what's he going to do? Job to Seth and Roman? And who else? There's really not many Kevin faces Owens over there.
It's true. What do you think, Kerry?
I mean, yeah, I agree with you guys. Raw's not the place for him. He would just become a glorified jobber if he went to Raw. And that would kind of ruin what he's done for himself over the past few months. I mean, Miz has really stepped up his game since the brand split. And I think having him go to Raw while SmackDown gets Sami Zayn would just kind of set him back. Basically be a huge setback for him after all the groundwork that he's put in over the past few months.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I don't know. I'm still kind of shocked by it because, let's face it, everything they've done in the last 2 months with Dolph and The Miz has just almost in about 30 seconds completely been undone. Completely. I mean, Miz was having the run of his life, and if they wanted to keep it that way, they should have. Now he starts over again, so now there's no point in starting trying to have him have that championship, that longest reign of championship. There's no point in it anymore. I don't know. It was disappointing.
It's mind-numbing. It goes against the grain of everything that SmackDown has been working towards, and everything's just gone fucked up for SmackDown ever since. Since last week, since they were
Glasgow.
Yeah. Since Glasgow, I don't know, did they like lose the SmackDown writing crew or something? Because nothing's really making a ton of sense at this point.
Well, you know what's interesting I found is that Vince is still in charge of SmackDown. It's not like he let it go. So
did you ever think he really did?
I thought so, because SmackDown has just been amazing, honestly. But in the last 2 weeks, and I'm going to chalk this, I'll chalk it up to Survivor Series. They have to kind of get things ready for Survivor Series, so they put everything on pause. And that's what I'm hoping it is. I'm hoping SmackDown next week goes back to SmackDown being awesome. I'd love to say Raw is going to be awesome, but we all know that's not true. But do you think maybe it's because of Survivor Series, so they're kind of putting everything on pause?
Yeah, probably, but that doesn't excuse bad booking on something that you've spent months and months building up, only to just 180.
Oh, totally.
That's inexcusable.
Oh, yeah, totally agree.
Bad
flag. Right. Absolutely. All right, let's move on to a new topic. Kent, what do you got for us this week?
You know, let's just talk about another upcoming match that we sort of alluded to, actually, right then and there. Let's talk about the Cruiserweights. Because we kind of have an understanding that if one belt changes, the other one's going to change. It's kind of like the pay-per-view that was in, I think, July, where if the Intercontinental title, you know, went to Darren Young, then, you know, they were going to have to switch the belts both times.
Right,
so it's
right.
Kind of another situation, which WWE is terrible at, apparently. They got to stop doing that. They got to stop doing it because it kind of gives away the results of two matches in one. And then Kalisto's a botch machine. He's pulling a Sin Cara, which is odd.
Not that inappropriate.
And, oh, love how Sin Cara moved to SmackDown, like the internet told us, huh? Yeah, great.
Oh, yeah.
Great source of info that internet is.
Well, he is going to be moving to SmackDown, though. If they...
Why? He's not 200... He's not under 205 pounds.
But he is part of the Cruiserweight division.
Why the hell do you think the name of the show is 205 Live? That motherfucker is no 205. If he's 205, true. I'm 205. If I'm 205, I'm happy.
I will say this. When I first read that long time ago when the Cruiserweights came in, they said they're dropping the 205 actual weight limit. Now, why they're calling it 205 Live,
right, that kind of defeats the whole purpose again.
It does. I agree. You're right. Well, speaking of the Cruisers, let's keep with it. What the hell is going on? It's been awful. I mean, okay, granted, again, I know it's Survivor Series coming up, so they're kind of putting things on the pause, but the match that Brian Kendrick and Sin Cara put on was meh. And that was to me, so maybe you guys saw something different. Carrie, what'd you think of that match?
I thought it was slow. It just... I watched it, and I'm just waiting for the normal big spots that you would see in a Cruiserweight match, and I...
Was there even a single great move? Or a big one?
No. I was just waiting for something that looked good. Like, after I watched a few episodes of the Cruiserweight Classic, those were good matches.
Oh, yeah, those are fantastic.
I mean, that's the expectation that the WWE has set with me with the Cruiserweights. Even despite what, you know, has been happening the past few weeks with the division. That is my expectation. That's what I look for in every match, and I did not get that this week.
Well, you're right. I think you're right. It does... They set up these expectations, and they aren't delivering at all. There's maybe been one, maybe two matches that were even worthwhile. Still talking to you, Carrie.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's like they took these guys off the indie circuit, gave them this great opportunity to wrestle in the WWE, and then completely, botched it. It's shameful what they did, especially given all the emphasis they put a few months back on the Cruiserweight Classic. I mean, I'd rather watch reruns of that right now than what I'm actually seeing in the division.
Like, isn't it weird that Gran Metalik was on the first Cruiserweight match of Raw? Have we seen him more than once since then on Raw?
He has been wrestling indie things. He's been wrestling indie things that he made commitments to. Until, and now he's done, so he'll be back on after Survivor Series.
So a simple no would have sufficed.
No, I meant Kat, no. No, we haven't seen
him
at all.
Thank you. And that's the greatness of WWE and their booking. Let's put in our very first match, four guys.
Four really
good
guys.
Yeah, you had Cedric, Rich, and who was it?
Gran Metalik and...
Cedric.
Not, is it...
Yeah, because TJ was not in the first match.
Nope.
And then, those have been the... Actually, you know what? Cedric Alexander's been getting the short end of the stick, too. And the more I see that guy in NXT, I'm yet to be disappointed by Cedric or Rich Swann. They're both phenomenal. And yet, they don't get enough spotlight. Which hopefully, the 205 Live show will, have them killing Sin Cara or something, but...
Yeah. I'm hoping the 205 Live show brings it back to the classic. But again, even then, why does WWE have to change it for SmackDown or Raw? Well, we'll say Raw for now because we don't know if they're going to change over. But why? It seems like they went, oh no, you can't do that high-flying stuff on Raw. The people will be scared. Did it seem like that to
I'm
you?
Scared.
Like they're saying, tone it down. Well, you have every reason to be scared.
Terrified.
Yes. But doesn't it seem like it? They're like, nope, tone it down. Keep it. We don't want you overshadowing the big guys.
That's all
no,
it is. They
like
don't
it?
Want their the guys that they've spent, years and years building up, Roman Reigns. And You know, they just don't want them to outshine, you know, their homegrown guy, Seth Rollins. And they just, they put such a huge tether on these high-flying guys that can show so much more. And that's where WCW, 20 years later, is still better than WWE. Kind of fucked up. They have not learned their lesson yet. Like, they're that dumb bitch that just stays in an abusive relationship. It's going on 20 years now. That's WWE right now. Just saying.
Well, if they do get moved to SmackDown, and that's the other thing, they move to SmackDown, there's a two-hour show. What are they going to be able to do?
Not push Baron Corbin.
Well, that's for sure. Maybe he'll get traded to Raw.
Oh, my fucking God. That would be great. Then he could get buried by Seth and Roman. Can we just get a third show and call it ECW? That would fix everything. We could bring Chris Benoit back. We'd get the zombie in there. Rob Van Dam can come back. I see no problem with this ECW brand. That's what I want. Just make it network exclusive. Just give me... Put Rusev, Baron... Fuck it, we're going to put Sammy in there and Apollo Crews, and there we go. I'd watch the shit out of that show.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. How does Raw and SmackDown split up their brands and still cannot make stars with stars that are already made, like Sami Zayn, Rusev? These guys should be top stars, and they are not. They are just sitting in the wings like they have nothing to do. How is that possible? It's a brand split.
Hey, Cesaro still can't grab that brass ring, Russ. He's not talented enough. He's not entertaining enough.
No. No, apparently not.
No.
Oh. Wow. All right. Wow. I didn't expect to fly off that cruiserweight tangent and go into how Raw and SmackDown still suck in so many ways.
Nah, Vince, you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Yeah, don't retire. Don't
no,
retire.
No, and do not ruin Triple H. Do not soil it. Your legacy and have Shane McMahon just kick you to the curb after you get injured and replace you.
Yeah. Or let Triple H replace you.
The game, gave me a raging clue. He sure does.
All right. Okay, well, speaking of Triple H, let's completely go off topic again. I want to talk about, you know, they were on SmackDown, and really quickly, they were doing that best of, and it was The Rock versus Triple H, and Shawn Michaels was the guest referee. I remember really liking that match and being very happy that Triple H won it. I can't remember why Shawn Michaels wasn't on his side in the beginning.
Receding hairline.
Ah, yes, of course. The receding hairline. Yeah, I couldn't remember.
You know, it was basically Shawn Michaels was like, he was still like 70% face, but The Rock was just a cocky dick. And he was like, hey, at least I have history exposing my ass with this other guy. So I may as well kick this fucking Samoan dumbass and help out my friend. I think that was the gist of it.
Okay. I just remember being like, I remember enjoying it very much when it actually happened. But I, for the life of me, couldn't remember what was going on. So
yeah, it was like a big spicy bowl of chili. Like, you're loving it in the moment. And then you kind of forget, why did I love this again?
Why did I love it? Yep. And then you take another bite, and you're like, oh, yeah.
I'm in flavor country. Population
flavor country. all right. I do want to talk about the Survivor Series match. The Raw top guys versus the SmackDown top guys. A couple of different things. We'll bring up a few topics on it while we go at it. But the main thing I want to focus on is, who do we want to win? Me, personally, now I am looking for Raw to win this. I've always thought Raw was probably going to win it anyway, because Vince and his raging clue for Raw can't let SmackDown overshadow them. So I always thought Raw was probably going to win this anyway. But then when they put the teams together, Braun is the only hoss in this entire thing. How did SmackDown, who lost their hoss, go with Shane McMahon instead of someone like Luke Harper, who's doing nothing, and instead we have Shane McMahon. Carrie?
It's baffling.
Oh, I went right over you.
I am stumped as to the Shane McMahon pick. I still am a week later. I mean, Raw's got a pretty stacked team, guys. I mean, top to bottom, there's no holes there. SmackDown, well, up until the addition of Shane, there was no holes there either. I mean, it was going to be a good match. Now, I mean, there's so many more deserving people for that spot. Why Shane? Why not? I mean, if you're going to do that, why don't you go with, I don't know, Kane? Or Luke Harper? Or I don't know. Yeah, but
you replace your hoss with a hoss, right?
Exactly.
Kalisto.
They did not do that in this case.
He's the giant killer, goddammit.
You know what's funny? Kalisto doesn't deserve anything. I mean, I've never really been a huge fan of Kalisto. But Kent will now officially hate Kalisto until his dying
You're
breath.
You're goddamn right.
All because he did one thing to Baron Corbin. Classic. All right, Kent, so what do you think?
Well, as I break it down in our Survivor Series preview blog, which has not gone up yet because it has not been written yet, but it's in my mind, and I break things down
good.
Quite analytically.
So it's not quite on 9deuce.com/wrestling
Not yet. It will be there Saturday or Sunday.
Let's hope Saturday.
Yeah, probably, because I can get that out, and I'm going to do an NXT preview. I don't know if either one of you are going to join in. If you don't, fuck you. No, it's cool, Russ. I already said fuck you. It's cool,
okay.
Man.
I already got it, so we're good.
If you break it down, the top four guys on each team is pretty evenly matched up. And it comes really down to the last guy, the least experienced guy on each team. Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman. Yeah. If Raw doesn't win this, I really want to know, what the fuck are they doing? They have built Braun up to be better than... At this point, Braun has been built better than probably half the guys in this particular match this past month. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they would botch that, but I didn't know how they could botch things 2 weeks in a row, and here we are, still talking about botches. So, that's... I don't know. It's weird, and all I can say is I really liked Jericho, Seth Rollins, and Braun as a team. I don't know why that worked out so incredibly well for me, but I loved their teamwork, which wasn't a bunch, but it flowed together. It was actually a good clusterfuck of a match. Maybe not match of the night. Actually, yeah, it was. Because
it wasn't that great of matches that night.
Right. Monday was just more about having a bunch of clusterfuck odd pairings, as you mentioned in the blog. Was
yes.
Such a handsome question.
Was. I didn't even say handsome question that time. I said it was short and to the point.
Like my. Because
it's a good question. So anyway, but you do bring up a good point. You're talking about how they built up Braun really strongly. And let's talk about that real quick. I think they're really setting Braun up to be, well, I'm going to say the next
to
Undertaker.
Fail?
It just, but no, that was Baron. That was Baron. They're setting him up to fail. Because after what they did with him, it's definite. But I think Braun seems like he's like the next big thing. And it seems like they're really building him up for that. I think Survivor Series is going to be kind of that little bit of a chance for him to shine and show us what he's got. And he's got all the points. I think he'll do really well. What do you guys think?
I can't argue with you there. I mean, the build for Braun has been fantastic. I mean, even his interaction with Jericho in that backstage segment. And let me take a side for a second and just say, I want a scarf of Jericho.
Which one?
Any of them.
They're
I just want a scarf of Jericho.
Okay, listen, I know your husband is a lawyer and he is very successful, but those are very expensive scarves. I do believe around the $1,000 marks at least, minimum, right, Kent?
I'll figure out a way to get them.
She works hard for the money. She'll get her scarf. So choke on that, Russ, apparently.
I know this is kind of like supposed to be a different segment, but it makes sense to talk about it now. What is to be made of Undertaker? Like, is he returning, or is he only returning if SmackDown loses? And so did they basically just tell us already, hey, SmackDown's going to lose because we already just told you Taker wants to return and dig some holes and jelly rolls, or I don't fucking know.
I do believe it was dig some holes and steal some souls.
I like Dark Souls.
Of course.
It's a good game.
That's a good game. Definitely a good game. Hard.
Very hard soul. Is that what they implied?
You know who's a good soul? Oh, hold on. Before you do that, you know who's a good
Hulk
soul?
Hulk Hogan?
Nat King Cole.
Didn't see that one coming.
All right.
Nor do I want to.
I think they gave it away, Kent.
Like the Red Hot Chili Peppers of the 90s?
Yep, certainly did. Gave it away now.
But this doesn't take place in California.
Doesn't everything take place in California, really, though?
I guess I could see it that way. But yes. Go on.
Yeah, so I think they definitely gave it away. It felt like it. And once Taker said that, I'll be honest with you, I was all about, yes, now I want Raw to definitely win. I always thought Raw was going to win. Now I'm 100% positive they are going to win, and I can't wait because I'd love to see Taker take on someone like AJ or Bray. Bray hasn't fought him, right? I'm not crazy.
Bray fought him.
Or did they have him at WrestleMania? Okay.
Because Bray does really well at WrestleMania. He is 0-1 whatever.
I think he's 0-3 or 0-4.
Or wait. Yeah, he's fucked. He is the most fucked over non-protected guy in the locker room. Is there really anybody else who's less protected that's a quote-unquote big name than Bray Wyatt? Oh man, everybody's like staring at the fucking ceiling here.
I was trying to think. I was like, is Zayn count? But I wouldn't count Zayn because he's not quite as big as Bray.
No, Zayn hasn't done dick yet on the main roster.
Well, neither is Bray, let's face
it. Bray fought John Cena's first WrestleMania. I'm sorry, that's kind of huge. Oh, and then he followed that by fighting The Undertaker. Oh, and by the way, he had an epic feud with the goddamn motherfucking Shield. So, yes, excuse me, but yes, he is kind of a big deal.
But he lost all of those things.
You say that, and I believe everything that you're saying, but you know what? At one point, they dragged Kane away after, like, an Inferno match or some shit, and it was such a good storyline. And then
they completely dropped it.
And then they converted Daniel Bryan for, like, 3 weeks. Lest we forget how great that was.
And now they converted Randy Orton. Oh, yeah, and then they converted Randy Orton, so we know how that's going to end up.
He's going to be the new black sheep?
All right, Carrie, what do you think of this? Who do you think is going to win it based off Taker? What do you think? Do you think they ruined it?
I think so. I mean, well, maybe it's just my hope that it's the return of Undertaker for a while because it's Taker. But yeah, I think Raw's going to win this. We're going to see the return of Taker. I mean, they almost foreshadowed it in the segment where AJ was like, well, maybe I'll help you guys win, maybe I won't. And then Undertaker comes out and basically said, you guys win or else. So, I don't know. Maybe we're going to see Taker and Styles?
I am all for that match. That's my next question was going to be, what do you guys think? Who do you think when SmackDown loses, who's going to get the Taker rub? Well, that's WrestleMania.
So, basically, he's going to just plow through everybody, including James Ellsworth. Yes, I know I'm going out on a limb there, but I think Taker is going to plow through all of them.
So, here's my thought. Ready? Ellsworth is going to beat Taker at WrestleMania.
That'd be amazing.
There's the rub for Ellsworth.
Well, here's the thing. Taker's already beaten 4/5 of that team. The only person he hasn't fought and beaten is AJ Styles. So the question is, do you have Taker get the AJ Styles match at WrestleMania, which isn't nearly as highly anticipated as Taker versus Cena, but could you imagine Taker winning the belt on his last night and then retiring as champion? Like, that doesn't happen anymore. If any one individual is deserving of that particular honor, it's Undertaker. I could see that playing out, but then we never get the Cena versus Taker thing. And I think I could accept that. I could absolutely accept AJ Styles giving Taker that great last match. Just my thoughts.
I'd love to see Taker versus AJ. I do want to see Cena versus Taker. I want that to be my last match, actually, to be honest.
I agree with you. It's not like, I mean, I've been wanting Taker and Cena since WrestleMania 30. When Brock and Bray should have happened, Cena and Taker should have happened. They fucked that up big time. So maybe Taker just plows through the roster. He's like, oh, SmackDown, you have nobody else left to offer. And then how we get the build up.
It's possible. And I'll be honest with you. I'd love if that were to happen at. Okay. I don't know what they're going to do for SmackDown. Is Fastlane going to be at both of them?
Doubt it.
Or so they're going to have a new pay-per-view during February.
They're cutting down on pay-per-views next year, so I don't know if they have everything figured out yet.
Okay. Because that's one thing I was trying to figure out. They haven't mentioned anything about it. But I would love... John Cena beating AJ at Fastlane, or whatever pay-per-view there is that they're going to have a chance for. And then John Cena dropping it to Taker at WrestleMania. Yes, I know that...
I like it.
The only issue I have with it is that, yes, I know it's Cena's 16th championship, which ties.
Yeah, you're kind of Flair. Fucking up that whole storyline by
yeah, placating.
Yeah,
so that kind of hurts that. Yeah, but come on. Taker getting the win at the end? You're right, Taker deserves it, and Vince damn should give it to him. Let's face it, if anybody deserves it, Taker does.
Yeah, and considering it's Taker, Vince will probably do it. If you know, the situation warrants it, where Taker says to him, hey, this is my last WrestleMania, I want to go out as champ, Vince is going to say, yeah, I'll do that.
Vince should say
because
yes.
Because it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Vince loves Taker. There's no way he wouldn't say yes.
Taker choked out Kurt Angle on a flight. These things happened.
I heard about that.
Because Kurt and Vince were wrestling. It woke up Taker, and Taker saw Vince getting attacked and just
flipped.
He flipped his shit and just took out Kurt Angle. Like, that's one of the... Why was there no cell phone camera? Like, why is there no video of that particular incident? Because that would be legendary.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure once it was all settled, you know, Taker... Or, you know, they've settled the hatchet probably since
Taker
then.
Taker probably took another nap.
Yeah, Taker's like, oh, you guys are fooling around? Oh. I would love, and I mentioned this in the blog too. I cannot wait till Taker retires, I don't want to see him retire anytime soon. But I want to hear his stories because he is never out of character ever.
Do you really think that it's the smarter thing to put the belt on Cena, waste that 16th run, rather than just giving Taker a great match with AJ? Like, is that really what you? I'm asking because it makes Cena's 16th run a one-month gimmick, a transitional championship, and you can't really make John Cena a one-month 16th-time transitional champion. That would be shitting on the legacy of wrestling in general just to get that one match. Do you really want that? Versus giving us... You know, AJ versus Taker is a hell of a consolation prize.
Okay, you're right. It does. The selfish person in me, I really want to see Cena Taker. I absolutely want to see that. And AJ Taker would be great because AJ's just the man. Like, he can put anybody through a good match.
Holy hell, I thought you were going to say he's phenomenal. I was waiting for it, Russ.
He is phenomenal, but he's not the phenom.
Right. And that writes itself.
The Phenomenal versus the Phenom.
Oh my God, you're right. Never mind. I am in. You sold me, Kent. You're right. WrestleMania, AJ Styles versus Taker. Just because
Vince,
of that.
I'm better at your job
versus
than you
the Phenomenal. Put that one down.
Why don't we take it one step further? Triple threat for the belt at WrestleMania. Styles, Cena, and Taker.
That would work.
Yeah.
It would take the load off of Taker.
Which would be huge.
Take a load off of Taker. We would get that Cena-Taker match. They could easily put AJ out for maybe 5-10 minutes and let those two go at it for a little bit. Yeah, I like Kerry. Look at you. Kerry should tell that to Vince. Holy crap, that's a match of the century.
Vince, if you're listening, email the podcast. We'll send you an address for my check. Thank you.
I don't know. I still feel we're really underselling Cena versus Rock once in a lifetime. We're really underselling its importance in the history of wrestling. Russ, why are you Rock. Looking like you're contemplating what I'm saying right now?
I was.
But why? It was once in a lifetime twice.
Yeah, didn't they already fight? I was about to ask you that.
Yeah, they fought in back-to-back WrestleManias. It was like the worst stretch of WrestleManias. 27 was Miz versus Cena, which was a shit match. That was a shit card. Yep. 28 was a shit card. 29 was a shit card. The only cool thing about 29 was Living Color playing CM Punk out to the ring when it was Punk versus Taker, yes. Which was the only good match of the night. Mm-hmm. Like, that was three straight shitty years of shit. Just saying.
Shittlemania.
And then WrestleMania 30 came around, and it was shit. Because it was the most unforgivable thing of all time. Plus, Bray dropped to Cena.
Oh, yeah, that's where Bray dropped.
I mean, really, the only redeeming thing was Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. Because the main event match, I know it was about the moment. The match wasn't that fucking good, though. But Triple H and Daniel was a really good match.
Yes. 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 Eh?
Back
yes?
of my hand. Back of my hand. Back of my hand.
Alright. Okay, so we've talked about Taker. We've talked about Miz and Dolph. We talked about the Raw vs. SmackDown guys. Usually we always talk about the girls. This is the first week we really haven't talked about the girls. Let's get a little bit about the girls going on here. What are we thinking here? Raw, SmackDown,
Russ, this
who do
isn't
you prefer?
Historic. That's why we don't care.
You're right. It's not historic, even though technically isn't it historic? Has there ever been a girls
There's never been
Survivor Series
oh,
match?
Oh, God, Russ. Get yourself Kenchicated. Yes. yes. But I will say this. Did you know that this will be the first time that there has been two women champions facing off in a match? There.
I assumed that was definitely true.
Yeah, and you also assumed there had never been a Survivor Series match with two women, so...
I just asked.
Let's let Kerry talk before you keep embarrassing yourself.
Jeez. I mean, on paper, you would think Team Raw would win this. I mean, they have the talent. They have everything. But with that being said, though, the women on SmackDown aren't any, you know, anything to sneeze at either. I mean, Becky's been doing amazing. Alexa is the best female heel in the company. And Carmella, well, as long as you keep her away from Nikki, she's going to do well, too. So I'm really torn as to which team is better suited for here, which one's actually going to win. But I'm excited to watch it. You guys?
Yeah. I'm excited to see Foxy in those shorts again. Am I the only one? And I know Carrie's going to say no or just say nothing. But I mean, I can't be the only person that just sits there and is like, can I get a video of Nikki Bella squeezing her ass into those shorts every week? I'm not even being a pervert. I just kind of want to see the whole act happen. Like, does she need assistance squeezing her ass into those shorts?
These are questions I have. It's I don't even think it's a perverted thing at this point. I just want to know the physics behind it. So, with that being said, it's weird because what you have to give SmackDown at least one of the three big matches, and do you make it the women? Do you make it the tag team? And I guess that's the question on the table. And Russ just got up and left the fucking table. He didn't even want to discuss this. Fuck you, Russ. And this was the other questionable thing. Does Nia Jax need help squeezing her fat ass into those tights that we saw this past week? I mean, does somebody have like a clue on how to dress a bigger gal? I don't know what the proper term is here, unless we want to go BBW, but that's usually just for fucking porn.
Big boned.
Big boned. She don't have a penis that we know of.
I was saying, are you sure, Kat? Are we sure?
Well, Russ, I think we saw the bulge in those tights that we saw on Tuesday.
That was awful.
But Alicia Fox
awful.
Looked good. Sasha Banks in a nice pair of jeans worked well. Charlotte, well, she still looks like Charlotte, which, yeah. I mean, if you're into dating Ric Flair's spawn and kind of think you're like, you know, going on a date with Ric Flair with longer hair, I mean, more power to you, I guess.
I also say this on Tuesday. When they first showed her, I thought it was just like a person in the arena that kind of looked like her. It did not look like her at first.
Right, because usually the cameras pan to somebody that just looks like somebody. That usually happens. That's pretty much the norm.
Does, yes. They pan to people all the time. They did that a lot in Raw, I noticed. They kept on panning to these two guys. I don't know if they were sitting next to each other, but they kept on going to the same two guys, had different, the same weird reactions every time. Because
Raw sucked, okay? And they were like, these guys are funny, so we're going to go back to them. So maybe you're right. Maybe Charlotte just happened to show up. She bought her ticket, and they're like,
right.
Who's that average-looking person that looks like Ric Flair? Oh, and she has a red shirt on.
Oh, shit, Charlotte. Oh, Charlotte. No, I it was a quick glance when I first saw it. They panned to her, and then I looked up, and then I looked away, I looked back up. I was like, oh, was that Charlotte? And they're like, oh, maybe it was just someone that looked like her. But then it was Charlotte. So, I'm sorry. That was my story.
I liked the invasion. I wish they would have done more invasions in the build-up. Like, they've had 3 weeks to build this shit up. Instead of spending so much time putting dicks in their mouth, they could have announced all the teams already, and they could have done invasions the past 2 weeks instead of just doing it, like, saving it for just this week. Kind of a waste, really. Hell, New Day already told us, you know, Breezango was going to be in the match before they even had the match. So why couldn't they have just given everything away and just got right to the good stuff?
Totally agree. In fact, did the tag teams even...
No.
There was no... Yeah, so they could have done that like last
week.
But
the Ascension was out. And that's all that counts for me.
True.
So...
I also got to see Simon Gotch.
Oh, Simon Gotch. How do you still have a job?
Well, maybe because after the whole Sin Cara thing, maybe they're like, maybe Simon wasn't such a douchebag about this whole thing.
Mayhaps. So, Russ, what do you think about the whole fucking women's clusterfuckeroo?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
How glad are you?
The trash bag. Okay, sorry. All right, so anyway, back to this. Raw and SmackDown. Honestly, I want SmackDown to win. I like the girls there infinitely better now. Alexa is probably my favorite woman wrestler right now. Carmella is right up there with her.
Glad to see you're coming back to the Alexa side with me. Good to see.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ever since, I don't want to say it was Talking Smack. It was the week before her Talking Smack when she won the right to fight Becky. Whatever that was.
Oh, like it was a five-woman clusterfuck.
Yes, and she won the right to win. Ever since that, I was like, holy crap, this girl is the real deal.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm glad you agree. Now, going back to that, but yeah, Alexa's my favorite women's wrestler. Carmella is right up there with her. You start dropping off there, but Becky's great. You can't go wrong with Becky. After that, you start to really drop off because then you have Nikki. And even you're not really dropping off because you got Nikki.
You're not dropping off at all. If Naomi's your worst person on your team, did you see that awesome springboard that she did?
Yeah, Naomi's good.
Naomi's a hell of an in-ring talent, suddenly.
Yes. Ever since she was on her winning streak.
Yeah, with Brodus Clay.
A little after that. Push it. Go fast forward quite a bit.
All right. I have a question because I want to just, you know, completely screw you over.
Who, me?
And this could be for either one of you. Doesn't whoever wins the five man, whatever brand, don't they have to lose the women's one? Because wouldn't that just be ridiculous if they had one brand win both the women's and the men's and just be like, oh, but the losing brand, they can have the tag team match. They kind of have to do this, right?
Yes, I agree with you. I think if whoever wins the men's or whoever wins the women's, the other team is going to win the other one. I agree.
Well, you would think that that's what they should do logically, but as we've said before on this podcast, logic goes out the window every time for creative, so who knows, but I do agree with you, Kent. That should be the logical way it's done.
And but if again, I can go one step further, shouldn't SmackDown technically get two of the three wins? Not because it's a better show, which is obvious, but because the big main event is Raw exclusive. It's not like a guy from SmackDown and a guy from Raw. No, you're having two quote-unquote legends. So Raw's already getting plenty of shine. Shouldn't SmackDown be entitled to get two of the three wins, kind of even this shit out? Or, I mean, we all know Raw's going to just end up sweeping everything. They're going to end up with the Intercontinental Championship, the Cruiserweight Championship. Somehow they're going to end up with Dolph Ziggler. And
they're going to... And they're going to cancel SmackDown.
Oh, God. They're going to put Daniel Bryan on the unemployment line.
Well, to answer your question, I think, yes, they should. Will they? No. It's going to be two to Raw, one to SmackDown. That's what it seems like to me. Just because Vince cannot let go of Raw being the flagship. And technically it is. But SmackDown is so much better. So, you know, you brought up, Kent, Brock and Goldberg as the main event for exclusively Raw. We haven't even talked about that yet.
Yeah, I mean, because on a show in which we've talked about, you know, all the big matches, let's save the tag team match for last. I like where this is going.
Oh, we actually want to talk about the tag team match.
No. Let's talk about Brock and Goldberg
completely.
This just seems more right.
It does, doesn't it? Because I wasn't even going to talk about the tags because I could care less almost.
You could?
Yeah, I could care less.
Good for you. You're a shining star.
I thought I'd throw that out there. It's not that I couldn't care less. I could care less.
I called you a shining star about a tag team discussion, Russ. Come on!
No, I caught it. I was there.
Your face tells me you weren't there.
No, I was there. I got you. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk Brock and Goldberg then.
Let's do that.
All right. Well, that's the big, big main event. It's been hyped to craziness. And I will say this. Raw has done a very good job of building this thing up. And I honestly thought they couldn't do it. I thought this was going to be... It's probably still going to be a terrible match. Let's face it. 10 minutes. Goldberg's going to do 4 moves. Brock's going to do 5 moves. That's it.
Brock knows how to do 5 moves?
Yes. He doesn't show it very often, but he does know how to do 5 moves.
Are they 5 moves of doom?
I would say 4 moves of Doom, 1 move of Mayhem.
Doom, 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 doom.
So, it's going to be a shift for show, but they did a really good job building it up. And you got to give kudos to Paul Heyman and Goldberg and Brock. Let's face it, all three of them did their jobs really well.
Goldberg? Where the hell was this Goldberg for all the years he was on top? Because I can say I saw all of Goldberg's career. It wasn't that fucking good. It was built up, but no. It really, like, looking back on it, it was like, oh, here's an ex-football player. He likes to spear other men. That's awesome.
That sounded very sexual, Kent.
What? Russ, how can you say that another man spearing another man is sexual and then not at least talk about how he then goes on to jackhammer them?
I was going to say, he jackhammers men and then spears them. So
unexcusable. Point is that he's never been this good on the mic. So, I don't know. Something about Paul Heyman brings out the best in everybody, right? That's long been known for, Christ, 25, 30 years now?
Yeah. Paul Heyman is a showman, and he knows how to pump up a crowd to get ready for a match. Absolutely.
Yes, he does know how to pump them up.
Then spear them and jackhammer them.
Oh, man. And Vince is the genetic jackhammer.
I forgot about that.
No, you didn't.
I did.
God damn it, Russ. You know, I want to say something off topic, because if I don't right now, I'm never going to say it. So you remember Mario Party 3, pump in a way, where you pump up the rockets? It's 2-on-2?
Yes, yes. Yep.
I saw a cartoon where it was pump in a way. I was like, you guys stole this from Mario Party. That's my whole thought process, but I was like, if I don't say it now, I'm never going to say it. It's important.
It's true. If you don't know, Kat and I used to play Mario Party 3 like it was going out of style and no other video games existed for about a good, 6 months probably?
Well, maybe for you, but for me, that shit lasted for a couple years. Like, that was the only game that really ever went into my N64. Which is kind of cool.
That was not sexual.
How the hell do you sexualize the number 64, Russ? How?
I didn't, but you put it into your 64, so.
Carrie, can you?
Yes.
Provide some levity here.
Well, now that we've hit a new low with this conversation.
Wait, this is the low?
We're not saying, trying this is not the low. We still got some shovels to be digging down here, so.
Well, then, all right. I will get us back on topic now. I think the build for Goldberg and Brock has been, very un-Raw creative. Like, it's been fantastic. I'm actually looking forward to this match, even though I know it's going to be a train wreck. We're going to see a lot of ring rust on the part of Goldberg. Brock is, he's going to be stiff.
Oh, he's going to be stiff.
Yeah. Come on.
And you didn't even answer the question, Carrie. We were trying to find out what you thought about pump in a way.
Oh, I didn't play Mario Party 3, so I really have no comment.
I have a thought. I should really record myself playing pump in a way, because there's a blue one and a red one, and that will help us predict the outcome of every match.
Win the SmackDown?
Yeah!
So yeah, that's a good point.
It's fucking brilliant.
You should have thought of this before this moment.
I know. Yeah, it would have been cool if I would simulate it. I don't feel like hooking my shit up now.
Oh, well, next year. Or next time SmackDown versus Raw happens.
Yeah, next month.
All right. So, Kent, what do you think?
About
the match. Oh, not about the match. Pump away.
I'm excited for it, and I know it's going to be a complete shit. I know it's going to be a train wreck. But I also know that, like, my inner child's going to be pretty excited about it. And It's a match that I know going into it I cannot take seriously. If you take away all serious vibe, all booking logic out of it, you know that Goldberg cannot pin Brock cleanly. That's the only thing we know can't happen. We also know that Shane McMahon's going to be there, and Shane and Brock probably are going to do their little dance at WrestleMania, and it's going to be terrible. So probably Shane's going to come out at some point. Aside from that, I don't know. We got plenty of good wrestling matches. This can just be all show, and I'll be fine with it. I accept these terms and conditions.
Would you be mad if Shane came out, cost Brock the match, Goldberg wins?
No. Because that's really not getting the rub.
Okay, because I was going to say, I know we're talking about the rub, but if it's a cheap loss, then...
Frankly, I don't think WrestleMania 30 happened, and that's kind of what I'm doing moving forward. I'm just going to pretend that that never happened, because... You know, that whole thing was supposed to build up somebody young. Who the hell has Brock faced that's young since WrestleMania 30? Big Show?
Dean.
Yeah, we saw how good of a rub that went. Worst match on the card, I think.
Yeah, but it was pretty bad.
That goes to Dean's inability to raise the bar.
Oh, that's bullshit. Dean wanted to make a great match, and Brock kept refusing it.
Well, okay, you're right, and Brock also.
You're goddamn right, I'm right. Which makes us both right. Team Discovery Channel.
Yes. Oh my god, I was thinking that this morning.
What? That's, okay, go on.
That's really weird that you brought that up.
Not weird at all.
I was thinking Team Discovery Channel.
Oh, shit. All right, can we talk about the tag team stuff so then we can get to all of our segments and blow this out of the water?
Call it a night?
Yeah.
You certainly can.
Is there much to say about the tag team match? Carrie, what are you thinking here? I mean, aside from Breeze Dango and how they're dressed and King... I just muted myself mid-sentence, but King Booker.
You mean King Booker?
Yes, I did.
Yes, that was fantastic. I was very motivated. But really, really, there's not much to say about the tag team match. Am I wrong, guys?
They haven't pumped...
I feel kind of meh about it.
Yeah, they really haven't built it up that well. I mean... Okay, I understand where it's coming from. It's going to be a complete and utter clusterfuck. With that said... I kind of want Slater and Rhino to win it. Soul Survivor it, as it were. I like Enzo and Cass, obviously. I like A&G, or G&A. I don't know how you want to call them. Gallows and Anderson.
Let's go Ga.
All right, Ga. Okay. I like Ga.
Oh my god, they should have Lady Gaga come out with them. Right? Right. Celebrity endorsement, WrestleMania, it writes itself. Oh, and then come out to like Poker Face. Right? Yeah.
Are you done?
Are you not seeing the pageantry of this, Russ?
I thought they were done with the silly games. So bringing Lady Gaga out.
Can't read my poker face. Gallows and Anderson.
All right, remember how you said we hit a low before, Carrie? Now we've hit a low. That was...
I'm not even drinking. We're still this digging. Week. Yeah. That's great.
I know, we're still digging, but...
Yeah, I stand corrected. That was... Wow, that was a low point. Anyway.
It get worse.
That's true. That is true. But going back to... I honestly don't care which side wins. I kind of want Slater and Rhino to win because Slater's the man. And, I mean, just listening to that SmackDown crowd, holy crap, they wanted them to fight. So, it's weird. Why are they holding off on Slater and Rhino fighting?
I think because at some point they got... Well, you know what's weird? They never said whether Rhino won his election or not. Have we ever heard anything about that?
No.
He lost.
And that's why she's our investigative reporter.
That's true. You know, Kent, you might have just stolen her segment.
Nope. I know for a fact that I didn't.
Oh, okay. I didn't. I like to be surprised on the show, so I don't
prepare. Russ, this is part of being a producer.
You have to produce results. That's true. Good thing I'm just a host and just sit here.
Is it possible that this tag match is going to be the shortest one on the card? Or is Brock and Goldberg going to be the shortest? Or the Cruiserweight? Like, there's four candidates for shortest, but I think tag team might be...
That would be awful if it was. There's too many guys in there to let that be short.
Yeah, but you're going to have 20 guys out there. You're going to have to get rid of some fucking people really fast. Like, Allison Anderson can screw over... We'll say end zone cast. Get rid of them. Let's have a little bit of a clusterfuck early on. Get rid of some people. And that match could go pretty quick.
You could, but I still think Brock and Goldberg won't last much more than 10 minutes.
All right, Russ. Whoever is wrong has to shave their head. Yes, I'm willing to put my hairline on the line.
You mean your non-hairline? No.
Tried.
I'll get a haircut.
Good. Because yours looks like one. Shit.
It does, doesn't it? It's awful. I need to get a haircut. Oh, man. All right. Let's move on from this terrible, terrible part. And let's go to some important segments that we have not hit on yet this week, which is shocking.
I want to get informed.
So, Carrie. Yes. Carrie, we want to be informed. What's going on this week in wrestling?
Well, again, this week, guys, I searched high and low on the internet for this week's big wrestling story of the week. And this week, I found a story that saddened this little investigative reporter's heart. I'm talking about the story that came out this week about Vader. According to multiple wrestling and mainstream news sites, Vader, real name Leon White, sent out a tweet earlier this week that his doctors have told him that due to his congestive heart failure diagnosis, he has less than 2 years to live. The articles I read state his heart has worn out from his years of wrestling and playing football, and it also came out earlier this week that Mick Foley is trying to recommend Vader for the 2017 WWE Class Hall of Fame. That's, guys, Vader memories. This is just sad.
Well, Kent knows my favorite Vader memory, and it's probably the worst moment in his career. But God, was it hilarious. So
go ahead, Russ, regale us with that tale.
I don't remember what pay-per-view it was, but Kent and I were watching. It was one of my first pay-per-views. That's what I remember, because it was right before the Attitude Era really kicked off. And Kent was showing me wrestling. One of the first times. So Vader, this is my first time with Vader. And so he's wrestling. Now, I'd heard the name Vader before, and he used to be a really big, badass guy back in, like, 94, 95, right?
Go back a little further, and you'd be...
93, like, 92, 91,
92, 93, yeah. That was when he was probably at the top of his game.
Yeah, and he was a badass back then. So I remember him. But then, when I'm watching this pay-per-view, and I want to say it was 1997... Kent's going to do a quick look-up. But I believe it was 1997. He has a match. It was a short match. And afterwards, they interview him. And I don't remember what the interviewer asked. I honestly don't. But I remember Vader's words very clearly. I'm a big piece of shit. Ken and I looked at each other, laughed so hard. And that's one of my first memories of wrestling, really finally getting into wrestling and sitting and watching wrestling from there until now. But that was one of the first things I remember. Vader saying he's a big piece of shit. And I think that's that point he went to WCW at that point. But my goodness.
Did you just say he went to WCW at that point?
I think he went. Didn't he go back to the WCW at that point? Oh, what happened? Because he was gone for a long time
at
that point.
Right, he was just gone.
There it is.
I can't find when it happened. I can't find the event, but I did find a really poorly shot video of it.
That was so great. Wasn't it, Kent? Come on. That was
awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's fueled us for you know, 15 years plus.
Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely. It's still funny every time we do it. And even though I know the guy's dying and I feel really bad for him, it's still one of my favorite moments of wrestling.
Like, for me, when I first kind of got into wrestling, I remember catching WCW, and it was around 91, 92, someplace in there. And I remember Flair, Anderson, and I remember this big hoss, Vader. And then I'd only seen him cut shitty promos, and, you know, he was a typical monster heel at the time who couldn't cut good promos, him along with, like, Sid, who's notorious for his promos. And then I saw Vader in the ring, and I was like, holy fuck, how the hell did that dude do that? And it inspired me to try a moonsault. And then I did not do that moonsault because I knew I'd kill myself.
I was about to say, I would have been there for that moonsault.
But the shit that man...
Full disclosure, Ken and I have known each other for years.
Yeah, like two,
I mean,
three?
Years.
Years now?
Try 20, 30.
Yeah, it's closing in on fucking 30 years.
It is. God.
The point, you know, WWE, when they found, or WWF at the time, when they finally got Vader, they really dropped the ball with him. They put him in the main event, but they just had him put over Shawn Michaels. That was like the whole gist of Vader's existence, which was kind of pointless. Like, WWF had a gem on their hands, and in typical fashion of WWF, they didn't know what to do with him. It was just a shame, but really, before there was Mike Awesome, before Taker was doing cool shit, Vader was doing cool shit. That's awesome. That's all I got to say about Vader.
So, do we think Vader should get into the Hall of Fame before he dies? I'm definitely for it.
Is there anybody against
me
it?
Me too.
Vince?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a legitimate star in Japan.
Yes.
I mean, he had a good, it was over a 10-year career where he was pseudo main eventing a good portion of that. If that's not a Hall of Fame career, then why is Coco Beware in the Hall of Fame?
Fair enough. I think he should, and I think he should be done now. And I think, honestly, since Mick Foley is the one who mentioned it, Mick Foley should be the one inducting him.
Oh, yeah. If anybody's going to induct him, I would imagine it's Foley. I mean, he did lose a piece of his ear to the man.
To the man. Yep. That's one of the things I do remember, too. So.
Yeah. It's sad. But he's a large dude, and in some ways, I'm kind of surprised that he's lived as long. Like, I hate to be like that guy, but big guys that wrestle don't live terribly long lives.
No. So. He's not that old, though. I mean, what is he? 50s?
He's got to be in his 50s, possibly even 60s at this point. I mean, he's like Taker young.
Yeah, so he's lived a decent life. You're right. Let's hope he maybe lives a little bit longer than 2 years. We'll see. But let's hope he gets into the Hall of Fame before he dies.
With all this positive, uplifting conversation... Ross, can you tell me who your man crush is this week?
Oh, Kent. Well, thank you for leading me into that. Man crush of the week, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to make this one short and sweet. We don't get to see him too often anymore, so I'm going to pull this one out and say Edge. Edge came out to a huge ovation on the 900th episode of SmackDown this week. And I do mean huge. Like, I feel really bad for the guy, because don't you think, honestly, if he didn't get injured or all of his injuries, he would still be main eventing right now. He looks phenomenal. I mean, he's rocking the full beard and long hair again. Well, the beard's never, that's new. But my goodness, that is a manly beard he was sporting. It was fantastic. Looked great on him.
Is there any chance that he would have got to 16 before Cena? He was up to double digits. That's...
I think he got to 10, didn't he, or 11?
He might even be higher than 11.
But a lot of those were quick switch back and forth, weren't they? Like,
yeah, to Cena. They were about as legitimate as Ric Flair's shitty title runs.
Good point. Fair enough. He might have. I honestly like Edge better than I like Cena.
Yeah, I do too. I
I would have actually liked to have seen, like, both of them race, like, being a triple threat for against, you know, a champ.
For their 16th. Yeah.
Like, that would have been a cool-ass story. Or, like, have the title vacated and they reach the finals of a tournament.
Yes.
Like, that would be such a cool pay-per-view to see.
That would be an amazing event. But, yeah, Edge has always been one of my favorite wrestlers ever since the Brood days. He's great. I love the 5-second pose. I love Team Wreck. That was one of my favorite times back in the old days. So Edge, I don't get to say it very often, so I'm glad he came on SmackDown so he could be my man crush of the week. So now, Kent, I've done my segment. Carrie's done her segment. You know what time it is?
It's Vader time.
No. It is time to get our Kentucation on. Kent, could you please Kentucate the audience?
Well, I'll make this short and sweet. We saw the dead man.
Like your peep.
Yes, just like that. Ha! Did you know that, I believe it was 1991... I had everything up here, but, I'm finding it right now. Yeah, 1991. A year after his debut, Taker won his first championship at the same pay-per-view that he debuted, and he beat Hulk Hogan, thanks to Ric Flair, which immediately led to a show called Tuesday in Texas, which is kind of an infamous pay-per-view. Also had Jake versus Macho Man, I believe. And there's a whole clusterfuck. Hogan won back the title, and then President Jack Tunney vacated it and said whoever won the 1992 Royal Rumble right here in Albany, New York, that they would become the champion, and Ric Flair won his first WWF championship. But it all came about from 1991, Taker winning his first belt. So
they had a Royal Rumble in Albany?
In 1992.
Wow, I wish we'd get a Royal Rumble back here.
Me and Joe Reynolds went.
Oh, well, I didn't care about wrestling back then, but that's awesome.
I didn't care about you. I mean... all right. I was going to go on and on about title changes, but really, aside from that one, there was Bob Backlund beating Bret Hart. And then Bob Backlund would immediately lose it the following night to Diesel and start that awful run. Sid beat Shawn Michaels at a Royal Rumble or a Survivor Series for the belt, which led to their rematch at Royal Rumble, which actually was a shitty ass Royal Rumble, but that match wasn't bad. I don't know. Then of course there's a screw job. Yep. You know, there was the screw job, and then there was a The Rock. Remember Rock winning that tournament? You're talking about
where... Oh, yeah. I was saying, you're talking about where Brett screwed Brett, right?
Yeah. Nobody else screwed Brett. Why is it always back... Why are we always working blue here? Always. With that being said, we have a few minutes. Want to just do a really quick predictions for Sunday? We only have 6 matches to predict.
Yeah.
All right, Russ, lead us off.
All right, so we have the Survivor Series match of tag teams. Since that's the one we care about the least, why don't we go? Carrie, who's winning it?
Gallows and Anderson? I don't know.
So, Raw?
Yes, Raw.
I'll go with SmackDown because the Ascension's not on there, so they could win.
I'm gonna mimic Kent and I'm gonna say SmackDown. No particular reason, just sure SmackDown. All right,
we really care.
Yeah, you can tell we care. All right, women's Survivor Series match. Who's got it?
I'm choosing Team SmackDown.
Probably so. Raw. because every time that I predict, like, Charlotte or Sasha, something's going to happen, like, they end up surprising me, so I'm really feeling SmackDown, so that tells me Raw's winning it, because they got to be at the forefront of this women's revolution, goddammit.
Plus, they make history.
And this will be a historical match.
Yes. I'm going to go with SmackDown. You're probably right. It's probably going to be Raw, because I am feeling SmackDown, so it probably is going to be Raw. And I just don't see who's going to beat Nia Jax, unless she runs herself into a guardrail again, and that was hilarious.
I could see Becky putting it to her.
I hope. But I'm going to go with SmackDown. I hope they win. All right, next match. We'll save the guys for a little bit later. Let's go with Sami Zayn and The Miz. Who's winning?
Sami.
Miz.
Going with Sami. I think they're... I like the idea of Sami winning it, trading to SmackDown, having Miz go to Raw, although that will screw Miz.
I like how me and Kerry followed the rules of quick. Then Rust gives us an essay about something we talked about 10 minutes already.
I'm the host. Okay. Next match, the Cruiserweight Championship, the Brian Kendrick and Kalisto. Go, Kerry.
I hate to say it, but Kalisto.
And keeping tradition, picking against Kerry for all the right reasons here, most definitely, Kalisto can eat a big fat dick. Going Brian Kendrick, the Brian Kendrick.
And I'm going to choose Kalisto. I don't want to, but yeah, Kalisto. All right. The men. Survivor Series match. Who's got it?
Team Raw.
I mean, Roman Reigns is on that team, so it's hard to pick against them.
You can't pick against
them. Yeah, but I've picked against Kerry first four picks. So, I mean, I may as well just keep on keeping on here. So, I'm going to go with the face that runs the camp. Oh, I did that completely right.
You've screwed it.
No.
All right. Well, because I want Taker to have an awesome match against AJ, I'm going to go with Raw. All right. And our final match of the evening, probably the least unpredictable, Brock versus Goldberg. Go.
Goldberg, dirty finish.
Ooh.
Brock Lesnar, bloody finish.
Brock Lesnar, terrible finish.
How's that going to happen?
It's just going to be an awful match, so it's just going to be a terrible finish no matter what.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, I think, or do we have anything else we really want to talk to?
No, I absolutely don't, because my thing became unpaused.
Oh, shoot. So, American Horror Story, we got
to
get
this. This is my final week of having to do this shit.
All right, well, folks, we hope you've been entertained one more time. We've hit a new low this week, but trust me, there are plenty of other lows that we can reach. And Kent and I and Kerry are not afraid to hit them. So for Kerry and Kent, this has been Are You Not Entertained? Make sure you check us out on our podcast where you can get it on iTunes. All right. And also don't forget to check out our blog that we do weekly, which is on 9deuce.com/wrestling. Check out all of our blogs. We have some great things on there. And you'll be doing Kent a solid. All right, ladies and gentlemen, for the tens of you out there listening to us, we appreciate it. Have a great evening. Thank you.
I hate Kalisto.
Bye, everyone.
Kent, we talked a lot about sex this week.
Why the hell are we talking about sex so much? I just want to talk about Nikki Bella squeezing her ass into those shorts. Oh, like I'd be the only person that would enjoy that.
No, I'm still recording. I'm actually going to stop now.